I'd like to have everyone turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Jonathan and I are on the same page. The reason why I'm not going back to James today is because we're facing a new year. We're facing a new decade. And as a church, we're looking at the 50th Jubilee anniversary as a church assembly of our church celebrating our 50th anniversary. So we're envisioning what lays ahead. We're envisioning what God wants to do, what God wants to continue to do. The Bible says without a vision, and we're not talking about seeing writing in the sky, you know, God writing in the sky type thing. We're talking about what's in God's Word, understanding what's in God's Word, getting a vision of God's direction through God's Word. The Bible says the entrance of God's Word, what does it give? It gives light. So we're talking about vision. We're talking about spiritual vision of knowing where God is headed so that we can cooperate with God in the purposes that He has for us. And the primary focus today is the ultimate purpose that God has for us. Without a vision, God says, my people perish. And one of the most impacting sermons, I didn't actually hear the sermon. I've got it in my library. I read the sermon. It's by G. Campbell Morgan. And it's based on Daniel chapter 1. And it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself and violate what he knew to be going against God's will according to God's word. And in that particular sermon, G. Campbell Morgan says, don't ever try to establish the peripheral of your life. Don't ever try to get the peripheral of your life straightened out until you get your center point. And that's what this whole message is about. One thing the devil is up to and the powers of darkness is up to is to complicate life. Or at least the way we look at it, it looks complicated. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, beware as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so you as New Testament believers, your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. A little child can get this. And if a little child can get it, we adults can get it if we don't get so sophisticated. Sometimes we get so sophisticated and we don't understand it's the ABCs that causes our breakdown, that causes us not to move forward with God. The simplicity of the center point. We've put several booklets on sermon audio that I've written. Most of them I wrote up in New Jersey in 15 years of ministry in New Jersey. And so we've been choosing which one of those to put on sermon audio since I've been here and since we got affiliated with Sermon Audio. And without question, among the top three booklets that I felt would be helpful, practically helpful to anybody that would read it, is a booklet I wrote, and it's actually copies of it in the foyer back there. What is God's purpose for your life? What is God's purpose for your life? And when I was in my youth, when I got saved, when I was 18, I was trying to figure that out. I was asking the ultimate questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? And how do I get there? And Paul answers this in Philippians. And this particular sermon is not going to be an exposition of chapter 3, although I'm going to make some points related to chapter 3. It's going to be more of a topical sermon. Some of it's going to come from chapter 1 here when I get to it. But I'd like for us to think about a target and shoot a bow and arrow at the target. And you've got all these concentric circles. And Jonathan described very well those circles of resolutions that we can make. There's numerous resolutions that could be made, not only at this time of the year, but any time of the year where we purpose in our heart of something that needs to be changed. But what I want to focus on today is the center point of the target. And instead of trying to figure out what resolutions to make whenever we make them, it's all good. It's very helpful. I'm not saying there's anything negative about it. Unless you understand the ultimate purpose of your life, you'll not be able to get the other circles squared away properly. And so to me, this is a lifetime resolution. It's a lifetime embracing of God's purpose for our life. Now, God's purpose for our life started way back in eternity past, where the Bible tells us that God chose us, and this is the key purpose of life. Everything as far as God's ultimate purpose for us relates to Jesus Christ. I want to try to demonstrate that in many different ways. God's ultimate purpose for our life, if you don't relate it to Jesus Christ, you'll not get the answers you need. It doesn't matter how much education or how much intellect or how much personality or how much charm or how much success or how far up the corporate ladder you go. If you don't understand how to relate the circumstances and the journey of your life to Jesus Christ, you'll not get the treasures of living in this life. You'll not be able to enter into the blessedness of life as God intended it to be. All the treasures, the Bible says this in Colossians, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can get any kind of knowledge you want to get, but all the treasures of that knowledge, if you don't relate it to Jesus Christ, you're going to miss the most important understanding of that particular subject or that particular education. All the treasures are found in Jesus Christ as far as wisdom and knowledge. Now, in Philippians 1, why am I here? Where am I going? And how do I get there? I'd like to just demonstrate from Philippians 1. And he does this all the way through Philippians. This is all the way through the Bible. In fact, when the Lord Jesus was resurrected from the grave with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he began at the beginning with Moses and the prophets. And he began to explain to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus what was in God's word. And it says that Jesus was opening their understanding on every page of Scripture to see what it said about himself. If you want to get the treasures of what's in the Scripture, look for Jesus Christ on every page. Remember it said, did not our heart burn as he opened the Scriptures to us? What gives you the passion of understanding what life is all about is being able to see Christ in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit unveiling your eyesight to be able to see on every, no matter what section of Scripture you go to see more of Christ. And I want to talk about direct connect here. Direct connect. It's not enough for somebody else to tell you about Jesus Christ. Every person has, if we're going to enter into this properly, has got to have a direct connect with Jesus himself. It's one thing to know facts about Jesus Christ. It's quite another thing to know Jesus Christ. It's one thing to give mental assent to facts of truth about Jesus Christ. It's quite another thing for the truth of his life to be living through you and me. Amen? We're talking about the difference between night and day. Mental assent to the facts of the gospel doesn't take you far enough. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's not enough to hear the preacher's voice. It's not enough to hear the Sunday school teacher's voice. It's not enough to hear the youth leader's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We're talking about a direct connect. I'm telling you, the more direct connect there is, the better you know the person. Amen? Now, to understand this concept that we're trying to get across, Paul gives it to us in terms of a race in Philippians 3. He talks about reaching forth like a runner with every ounce of energy, every ounce of stamina, every ounce of strength, stretching forward, running to try to win the race. We're running a race in our journey through life. Many times it tells us that in the scriptures. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about all those men and women of faith in chapter 11. And it refers to those men and women of faith as a great cloud of witnesses. Thank God we've got a great cloud of witnesses in this day and age of people that have already run the race. I'm telling you, one of the things I'm very thankful for in this church is the older examples in this fellowship of people who have already run the race further than some of the rest of us. Young people desperately need to see that. They need to see that cloud of witnesses of people that have already run the race. We need to have godly heroes. Amen? Godly heroes of people that we know have proven the power of God in their life. And we're blessed in this fellowship in many ways in that regard. But it says in Hebrews 12, when we run this race, it doesn't say look at all those great men and women of faith as the ultimate center point of having faith in Christ. It says looking unto, doesn't say looking unto the great cloud of witnesses when we run this race. It says looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. If we don't keep our focus on him, we're not going to be able to run the race properly. It's got to be a direct connect. It's not enough to get secondhand knowledge. One of the cult characteristics of a cult, all of us know that one characteristic of a cult is they deny the deity of Christ. That's pretty well common characteristic that a cult group denies the deity of Christ. But another characteristic of cult groups, religious cult groups, we're not talking about the occult, we're talking about cults. We're talking about people that are using the Bible and twisting it and perverting it into saying something it doesn't say. And one of the things they try to say that you need to be very much on the lookout for is they have this idea that you can't understand the Bible for yourself. We will have to teach it to you. We got the spiritual gurus, you know, that have been divinely inspired by God, and the spiritual gurus will teach it to you. Now, one thing about a Baptistic church, which we are a Baptistic church, even though we're not a Baptist church by name, we're Baptistic. One of the things about a Baptistic church is the priesthood of how many believers? Every person that's been born again of the Spirit of God and has Jesus Christ living in them is a priest. We don't need a mediator priest to get us to God. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews, let every believer come boldly to the throne of grace. That's direct connect. And if you don't have the direct connect with God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you'll never get what you need. As a matter of fact, you'll be vulnerable to a dictatorial rule in your life religiously. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Just tell me what I ought to do. Just tell me what the right and wrong is. No, it's not about somebody humanly telling you. It's about knowing Jesus personally. Having a personal relationship with him. That's the center point. That's what the purpose in life is. And in Philippians chapter 1, Paul identifies it. He says, and how would we fill in the blank here? For to me to live, and you can fill in this blank in 10,000 different ways. What's the passion of my life? What is it that I'm absorbed with? What is it that I'm taken up with? What is it that has captured me? Paul uses the word apprehension in chapter 3. He talks about that I can apprehend Christ in the same way Christ has apprehended me. By the way, don't ever try to find your identity of who you are and measure yourself by other people and comparing yourself to other people and other people's personality or other people's gifts and abilities or other people's success, so-called, put it in quotes, success. The only way to find yourself and get your true identity is to be found in Christ. Who are you in Christ? That's how you find yourself. And it's not like we go finding him. He has to find us. God came after me when I was running as fast as I could go away from him. He tackled me, took me to the ground in his grace and his mercy and his love. And he found me. I didn't find him. And Paul writes about this in Philippians 3, that you might be found in him. You find your identity of who you are as a person as you understand who you are in Jesus Christ. That's how you understand your significance. That's how you understand your purpose. That's how you understand, like, you know, all this stuff about, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? Or what are you going to do? Now, I'm talking about the different seasons of life, different seasons of life. We all go through these different seasons of life, and the answer is always the same, no matter what season of life you're in. I don't care what season of life you're in. Somebody says, what are you going to do when you grow up? The answer is the same. Somebody says, what are you going to do when you face your midlife crisis? The answer is the same. What are you going to do when your body's giving out on you and the members of your body are breaking down and you know you're getting fragile with the members of your body and you're not functioning the way you used to function? The answer is the same. We're talking about the center point. We're talking about your purpose. We're talking about God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose. And he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're talking about an eternal purpose. It's not just that God had you in mind when you were born. God had you in mind before you were born. Not only that, God tells us in Jeremiah, he said, when I formed you, when he said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Wow. God knows me before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb. We're talking about an eternal purpose here. And I'm going to tell you something else. When God made you, he broke the mold. When God made me, he broke the mold. Everybody with me? You're saying, well, thank God he did. My point here is, you're special. You're unique. The glory of the life of Christ can be expressed through you in a way that God has customized from eternity past. Isn't that wonderful? No need to try to be like somebody else. No need to be jealous or envy or competitive or how come I can't socialize like other people socialize. That's just the fear of man. The fear of man puts you in a snare. If you want to be set free to be yourself that God created you to be, find out who you are in Jesus Christ. That's what will set you free. And Paul said, for to me, the center point of everything in my life, for to me to live is Christ. There's the center point. You relate everything that comes to you on the basis of who Jesus Christ is. Now, everything in our life that happens to us is not good. There's lots of things that come our way that's not good. But does not the Bible say that God can work it together for good? Now, how does this work? He says in Romans 8:28, we are all things work together for good to them who are what? The called of God. And those who understand God's purpose, the thing I'm preaching on right now, God's center point purpose, and once you relate it to the center point purpose, then whatever's happening to you, you can see how God wants to work it together for good. Which, by the way, that's why in my ministry and in our family, I've emphasized character qualities so many times for so many years. Because if there's something happening to me, there's something of the character of Jesus Christ that God wants to form in me. And if I have some idea of what is his character like, then I can say, Lord, thank you for bringing this into my life, because it's an opportunity for me to develop this character quality of Christ, this character quality of Christ, this character quality of Christ. And so then you can start saying, Lord, I thank you that you're working all things together for good. Because what is our purpose? It says that God predestined. He predestined. The very next verse after 28 in Romans 8:29, it says that God predestined that you and I would be conformed to what? The character of Christ. This is how you sort it out. This is how you understand what God's will is. One of the greatest things to me about running this race to win is that we can run in such a way that not just that we're running, when we're a believer, we're not just running so we can win, we're running so that everybody can win. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Paul said in Colossians, he says, I am become all things. No, he said this in 1 Corinthians. I am become all things to all men. This is in the context of running a race. In the end of that chapter, he says, we're running this race, and when we run this race, we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. Not like the athletics on planet Earth, where the crown you get is a corruptible crown. This race that we're in, when we understand our purpose behind it and the motivation behind it, there's an incorruptible crown behind it. And in the context of that, he says, the reason I'm running this race is not just that I would win. I'm running this race so that in some way, people that don't know Jesus Christ can come to know him. Amen and amen and amen. When I'm running this race, I don't want to be a stumbling block to other believers in their walk with Christ, and I don't want to be a stumbling block to unbelievers in their coming to Christ. Amen and amen and amen. It makes a difference when you're running the race that way. You're not just running it for yourself to win. And it helps you make decisions about what God wants you to do. It helps you make decisions about what is God's will for your life. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in, God's will for our life is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to make Christ known. That's what God's will is. What am I going to do when I grow up? The same thing I'm doing right now while I'm growing. To know Christ, to become like Christ, and to make Christ known. I'm telling you, if you learn that as a teenager, you won't have to go through the terrible teens. I'm telling you right now, you'll be able to invest your life in the kingdom of God. You'll be able to invest your life in things that last for all eternity. And by the way, you can grow up into maturity sooner than you think. You can be mature sooner than you think. Don't say, well, I got to wait until I'm 18 to be mature. Everybody with me? You can be more mature than a lot of people are if you find your center point. There's people that have lived 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, 100 years that haven't found their center point yet. And if you don't find your center point, you're not going to be able to grow up into maturity of what life is all about. So Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, what did he say? I put away childish things. And so when you come to know Jesus Christ and the wonder of who he is, all the peripheral things that have been so important that you've tried to fill your time with and try to somehow find significance or somehow find joy in life by all this other stuff, all of a sudden Jesus Christ becomes your passion. He becomes your ultimate reason for living. He becomes your all in all. And so the other things don't even have to be there anymore. God can add to or take away from. He can do whatever he wants to do. As long as you've got Christ and you know him and you're having worship of him and love of him and obedience to him and fellowship with him and likeness to him, you've got everything you need in life. No matter what, doesn't matter what season, doesn't matter what circumstance. Notice in chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul relates his circumstances in verse 12. He said, brethren, I don't want you to be down in the dumps about my circumstances. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, I don't want you to be down in the dumps about my circumstances, because he relates it to Jesus Christ being made known to others. I'm telling you, that makes a big difference when you look at your circumstances as an opportunity for others to know Christ. It makes a big difference in how you look at your circumstances. He says, the things that have happened to me, the way I'm looking at it is, how much of it is moving towards the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, so that Christ is being made known. And he goes on to describe the details of it. In the Praetorium Guard, the Roman Praetorium Guard, you know, the people that were handcuffed to him all day long. Well, what are you going to do when he starts talking about the gospel? You know, you're not going to handcuff him. It's your assignment to be handcuffed to him. He had opportunities with people to share the gospel that never would have heard the gospel because he was unjustly imprisoned like that. Amen. Praise be to our God. It doesn't matter whether it's a circumstance you're in that's a righteous circumstance or a circumstance you're in that's not righteous. As long as you're looking to make Christ known, God can work all things together for good. That's the way it works. And by the way, that's where the joy is. That's where the joy is. When he says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord, how long? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, just in case you didn't get it, just in case you think there's an exception to the rule, rejoice, I say. Now, the key factor, what's the center point? He didn't say rejoice in some marvelous thing you just was praying about as far as a material thing, and you got that material thing. That's all well and good. It's something to rejoice about. But listen, that only goes so far. What if you don't get what you've been praying about? Then what happens to your joy? He says rejoice in the Lord himself. It's not what God does for us that is our joy or our strength. It's who God is our joy and our strength. That's why it says the joy of the Lord in the Old Testament. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Knowing Jesus Christ is the center point. It's the ultimate purpose of life. It's the ultimate reason for interpreting your circumstances. It's the ultimate reason for figuring out what God's will is for your life. Listen, Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, now acknowledge him could mean pray to him. That's part of it. But also acknowledge him could mean acknowledge him to others. Not only acknowledge him in prayer, but acknowledge him to others. Now, it's been my experience in my life that when I have sought out opportunities to make Christ known, God uses that to reveal his will for my life. That's a big question in life. What is God's will for my life? Well, he says, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge me, speak of me, testify of me, look for opportunities. I like to think of it in terms of throwing the fishing pole in the water, because God's catching fish out there in the world. We don't catch any of them, but God's catching them. He says the harvest is ready, right? We just need some workers. We need some fishermen. And the Lord said, if you follow me, if you truly are a believer, you truly are, you truly have Christ in you. What did Jesus say? If you follow me, what am I going to make you? It's your ultimate purpose. I'm going to make you to be a fisher of men. Throw some fishing lines in the water and find out who God's catching. We don't catch anybody. And we don't intellectually persuade anybody. The Holy Spirit's got to do the work. But when the Holy Spirit's doing the work, we need to put some fishing lines out there and say, God, where are the people that you know that you're catching that you can lead me to that I can work with? And Jesus prayed this way. He said, Father, in the John 17, the high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I thank you for the men you gave me. Remember that? Can God give all of us people that we can work with to disciple, to have some spiritual input into their life? You know, it's possible when you know what your center point is. My center point is knowing the Lord Jesus and making the Lord Jesus known. And if I keep that ever before me, then things move forward properly. Now, I want to talk about humility and how important humility is in running this race. You talk about character qualities to be like Christ. To me, this is one of the most important, if not the top one. Because he said, come unto me and learn of me. That is direct connect. Everybody with me? He didn't say learn of somebody else. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and learn of me. In Ephesians, it talks about in Ephesians, if so be you have been taught by Christ, if so be you have heard Christ. In John 10, I think it is, Jesus said, my sheep, what do they hear? They hear my voice. In 1 John, he says, you have no need that any man teach you, because you have the Holy Spirit within you. And the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will show Christ to you. Amen. We're talking about a direct connect. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and learn of me. And then he says, I am. He identifies two character qualities. They're both very, very high importance. I am meek and lowly of heart. And if you have this humility of lowness of heart and meekness, what will you find for your soul? Rest for your soul. So I want to speak here for the majority of the rest of the time we have about humility. Now, let's say we have a lifetime of learning. You know, 70 years, maybe, if we make it that far. Not everybody makes that far. There was an ESPN broadcaster this week went into eternity at 34. It was very unexpected. But if God gives us 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, and we gain knowledge, we gain understanding, we gain different learning that we gain, the way I like to look at this, and I think it's very helpful, that we don't ever get the big head. Because the way I like to look at it is when we come to the end of our journey, when we've had a lifetime of learning, we've only just begun. We've only just begun. We've only just begun. It's like that little girl that lived in the inland part of the land, and she had never seen the sea. And she went down to the sea. Seashore, and she saw the sea, and she came back so excited. She says, I've seen the sea. Well, she saw a portion of the sea. But the immenseness of the sea, she hadn't seen completely yet. Amen. And I want to tell you, our God, he's immense. He's infinite. The amount of knowledge of knowing him and the infiniteness of knowing him, we've only just begun in a lifetime of this life. You know, the Bible says, now we see in a glass dimly. But when that time comes, when he comes back again for us, we're going to see perfectly. Amen? But my point here is, can Bible knowledge, if not properly assessed and properly implemented in your life, can Bible knowledge make you a proud person? You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 8, what does knowledge do to a man, including Bible knowledge? And it says, knowledge puffs up a man. And if we get puffed up with anything, it doesn't matter whether it's knowledge or anything else, we get puffed up with anything, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you're not going to make progress by thinking you know it all. You always have to have a teachable spirit. We're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. In Proverbs, it says, the path of the just is like a shining light that grows more and more until what? The perfect day. And so you say, what's your point? My point is, don't ever think you've arrived. That's my point. Paul, in Philippians 3, he says, I mean, he was probably far further ahead in his spiritual journey and race than most of us, if not all of us in this room. And he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. But there's one thing I do. I keep doing what? I keep pressing on. To the high calling of God. Well, what is the high calling of God? It's the same as everything else in life. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the center point. That's what G. Campbell Morgan was talking about. If you find your center point and you relate everything in your life to the center point, then you can get the peripheral squared away. But if you try to get the peripheral squared away without the center point, you'd never get it squared away. It's got to be related to Jesus Christ. Listen, I can do all things. I can do all things. What does Philippians say in chapter 4? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in John 15, Jesus said, without me, we can't do anything. So, I mean, that's ABC right there. I don't care how far we've come in the journey and the race of this life. We are totally insufficient the moment we are not in abiding fellowship with Christ. If we do not stay in abiding fellowship with Him, it's like Peter walking on the water. The moment he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ being the center of his focus of walking on the water, he started going straight down. And another thing, Peter was the one, Jesus said to his apostles, he said, look, all of you are going to be offended tonight. Every one of you is going to be offended. You don't understand the cross. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's what he said. And what did Peter say? And this is why I'm saying humility, and be very cautious about the confidence you put in yourself. Because in Philippians chapter 3, the first part of the chapter, his whole point is to put no confidence, none whatsoever, put no confidence in what? In the flesh. The moment we put any confidence in the flesh, we're not looking to Christ. We're not abiding in Christ. If we're not abiding in Him, the works of God cannot be accomplished. If we're trying to do something for God, we'll never be able to do it. To me, it's the difference between flying like a duck and flying like an eagle. The eagle flies this way. When the turbulence comes and the adversity comes, the winds of adversity come, it causes the eagle to soar. Because he's resting. We are resting in Christ. We're looking to Christ. How can this help me to be like Christ? How can this help Christ to be made known? And just soar into the heavenlies. But a duck is always trying to keep himself flying. It don't work that way. That's why even we as believers can burn out trying to do a work for God. None of us can do a work for God. We got to cooperate with the work that God is doing. Amen? Unless the Lord build the house, any amount of energy we put into it will be in vain. So we're talking about humility. Somebody said years ago, one of the greatest hindrances to God using me in the future is that God has worked through me in the past. And you start believing your press report, so to speak. Don't believe the press report. It's all about what God's doing. Amen? It's all about what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's all about what's supernaturally taking place. All right, let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, if there's one resolution that's the center point of the target that needs to be focused on, and it's a lifetime resolution, we're talking about every minute, every moment of every day. Usually when we make resolutions, we're targeting certain things at certain times and certain situations, but this is the ultimate lifetime resolution. This is the ultimate passion for living, to know your Son, and that He might be made known. And I want to ask you to bless our fellowship in this coming year and in the coming decade and whatever years we have left until You return. I ask You, Father, that this fellowship would be kept by the power of Your power, the power of the living God. And I pray that we would be kept because we've got our focus properly, not on self-aggrandizement, not on self-interest, not on self-gain, not on selfishness. I pray, Father, that our focus would be on Your gain, Your kingdom, Your name, and Your Son. And I pray that our whole focus would be, may Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus Christ be exalted. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. If He's lifted up, then He'll be able to draw people to Himself. So please forgive us of the carnality of self that gets in the way because we're so concerned about ourself. Instead of being concerned and finding our identity in Your Son, we're comparing ourselves to others, and we really never find out who we really are until we're found in Jesus Christ. And I pray if there's anybody that needs to be found today that's been struggling with their self-concept and their purpose in life, I pray today would be the day that they discover this wonderful truth that for to me to live, everything about me, my personality, my intellect, everything about me, my social skills, for to me to live is Christ. I pray You'd open all of our eyes that we can see the simplicity of what the simplicity of Christ in life and not think that life is all that complicated and spending most of our time trying to figure out what's my purpose in life? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? Lord, teach us how to look at Your Son. Keep looking at Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in His name. Amen.